What is up? Hello.
Wait. Before we actually get going, I found a royalty-free soundboard and I've been playing with it for like an hour. Just listen to this.
How's that for a cold opening?
No. We could start it with that. Yeah, that's fine.
Now that we've gotten that out of the way, hi, welcome to a double-sided story. I'm Lilia. What a way to start the episode. Truly horrifying, the scariest thing. It's actually what I'm going to be for my Halloween costume and everything.
Really? Wait, okay, we'll talk about that in a second. Let's actually
The top
describe the topic.
being an adult.
Yeah, adulthood. We just figured because Lilia's birthday was a couple days ago, and also it's Halloween, so we gotta talk about something scary. So adulthood.
The Halloween costume thing was a joke. I'm gonna be a
Really?
clown. Yeah, I'm not. Wait,
Well,
how
no,
am I an adult?
that could still be an adult. Some adults are clowns.
Some.
In both literally and figuratively.
No, technically, I'm going to be Alice from Twilight because I was roped into a group costume. Please save me. But that's for trick or treating.
That's fun.
Okay, hold on. Sorry, I know we have another topic, but I do need to share this with our listeners as well. There's a thing here in the lovely, lovely area known as the District of Columbia, Washington, D.C., our nation's capital. I'm just going to dox myself real quick, apparently.
It's okay. It's okay. There's enough people there that you're safe. Carry on.
Yeah, no, that's what I figure. So, here in our lovely nation's capital, there's a thing that happens on Halloween: trick-or-treating on Embassy Row. All of the embassies open up for trick-or-treating, and they each give you like candy from their countries.
That's really cool.
And it's like in the
I
it's in
want
the
to do that.
afternoon too. I know, like it's like tradition here for at least all like the freshmen, if not everyone, to go trick-or-treating on Embassy Row, because it ends at like 5 p.m. So it's
Oh.
like you can do that in the afternoon.
Yeah, and well, and also kiddos can go.
Yeah. You know, it's realistically it's meant for kids. It's just that college students want free food.
Well, and also it's cool as hell.
It's so cool.
Like, that's really cool. Anyways, adulthood. So, how are we feeling
Adulthood.
about this topic?
It's weird. Okay, so I'm 3 whole days into 19 because I really am just doxing myself this episode. Because, in case you guys didn't know, I'm actually the only 19-year-old in the entire DC area.
It's
That's actually exactly how it works.
so weird to hear you say that. I'm 3 days
What
into
the?
the 19 part. It's so weird.
Every year for my birthday, I actually start saying I'm whatever year it is, like about a week or two ahead of time, mostly because it's easier than being like, well, I'm 19 in 2 weeks, because then I feel like I'm just like trying to like call attention to the fact that it's my birthday and I don't like doing that.
I
But
just go almost blank.
I just start saying, well, basically 19, and like, so I've been saying that for a couple weeks, so I've already adapted to it.
But it 19 sounds a lot older than 18. I don't know if I'm crazy for saying that, but it just does. Because 18's still high school.
Yeah, well, bestie, we're in college now.
I know. I'm 19 in a little less than 2 months. Carry on, 3 days into 19.
Okay, I know everyone says this every time, but it's like I feel the exact same. There's a poem I read a long time ago that was basically, as you turn older, you don't lose your younger ages, you just add more on top of that. And so it's like, I'm not explaining it well. The poem did it very artfully because it's a poem and that's what poems do. But it's like, I'm 19 now, but I haven't suddenly changed from who I was at 18. And she was built off who I was at 17, who I was at 16, et cetera, et cetera.
Damn.
Adulthood's weird because it's like everyone expects this big flip this switch to be flipped, if I can speak English.
I think that, well, first of all, I think it's important to add that no reasonable person would consider you and I adults.
Yeah. That is important to say.
But the thing is, time is going to keep moving. Like, I hope to be an adult one day. Like, I hear from, I don't know, relatives, like, my, that they still sometimes don't feel like an adult. And honestly, I kind of find that statement a little comforting, because it's like, pure adult feels a little depressing. Like, if you don't get to regress, I guess is the best word I can think of, every now and then, that just doesn't sound fun. And maybe it's because I've never experienced adulthood, but to me, it sort of makes me glad that a lot of, like, people that people would consider adults still don't feel like them sometimes.
Yeah. You know, I understand that. I don't know. I feel like when you're little, you look up at adults as, like, you know, they're smart, they know everything, they're there who guides you, and that's good. That is an important part of being young, because if you didn't have faith in the adults that were guiding you, things would be difficult. I mean, as you get older, you start to realize maybe they don't know everything. It's the imposter syndrome. You never suddenly feel like you do, you know? You never suddenly feel like you know enough to be the guiding ones, she says, knowing she's going into education.
Well, you are.
Did I not tell you I switched my major?
No!
Oh!
You told me you might consider linguistics.
Literature and education.
I'm so hurt right now.
I'm so sorry.
I am wounded.
I'm so sorry. Why would you?
No,
I
no.
Told
hey,
you.
Hey, wait. Why would you?
I'm so sorry, Bastien.
Oh my god. I feel this is so embarrassing as your bestie and your podcast co-host.
I've been, like, throwing around the idea for so long in so vague terms that I never, like, was like, oh, hey, everybody, I'm switching my major, because I've been talking about, like, oh, I think I'm gonna switch my major for so long.
Okay, but, like, this is an extra level of wild for me, because journalism has been your thing since I met you.
Mm-hmm. But I realized this summer I hate nonfiction writing.
Okay, yeah, that's kind of an essential of journalism.
Again, I love loved AP research, and I am proud of what I did in AP research.
A lot of that was the teacher.
Yes, it was. She is also kind of what is inspiring me to want to pursue a career in literature and education. It was kind of that process that made me realize if I had to spend my entire career doing nothing but, like, research and trying to write papers and, like, factual things, that I then had to also, because of the way the current news media is, sensationalize enough to get published and constantly have to deal with the rejection and, like, editing and trying to again to be published and, like, either freelance so I can write what I want and then have to, like, constantly fight to get published, or get a solid stable job with a newspaper, be working a 9-to-5 that I hate, and, you know, have to write what they want me to. Like, none of it sounded like an appealing future for me.
Well, this is actually a really interesting topic for the theme, or, the topic of the episode. Our age, I am confident in saying, is a very traditional, transitional stage of life. And it's like you have, over the course of a few months, changed your mind about something that had been, you've sat with for a while. How do you feel about that?
It was hard. There were many nights this summer where I'd, like, go into my dad's room, like, I'd walk into his room and be like, Dad, what do I do with my life? And he'd be like, first off, you go to sleep and you go to work tomorrow. You don't need to worry about this. And no, he kept saying, you know, all summer it was take it one step at a time. I know it's hard, but try not to panic, because it was the idea that I didn't know what I wanted to do with my life anymore, and I was about to start college, and everyone I'm talking to has a definitive plan for their future and their career, and they know what they're studying and what they want to go into and everything, and I'm just sitting there like, okay, that's really great for all of y'all.
No, okay, because hearing you say this is, like, in a twisted way, kind of good for me to hear, because I had been having the thought in the back of my head that, because think about our other friends who have kind of a set plan, like for what they want to be, and I thought you were one of them.
No, I've been
And
questioning it for months. I like I'm sorry, I didn't realize I never talked to you about that. Like I said, mostly I talked to my dad about it because it was like I'd just be sobbing to him. And
yeah,
also
identity crisis. Okay, so it's like I really have never had a set idea of what I want to do. I'm on a trek right now because it seems like it's something I'm pretty good at and enjoy. I'm in political science, probably looking at something in the law field, but also I've never had a career that I'm just excited about doing or married to the idea of doing, and I still don't. And I've sort of made peace with that, not going to lie. And it's like, yes, it's kind of, I don't know, a cinematic, romanticized thing to have like this job that you're super passionate about. But I sort of realized that you have a whole life outside of your job. As long as you're doing something you don't despise, it doesn't have to be something you've looked forward to your whole life.
yeah, I completely agree. That's the thing. My mom, she works right now. She works for the federal government. She works from home, and it's like she loves her job, but she also the part of the reason she loves her job so much, obviously she does love what she's doing. I'm not going to go too much into what she's doing, but she does love what she's doing, but part of the reason she loves her job so much is it gives her the freedom to like go to the beach on a weekday, spend time with her fiance and with her pets, and she's able to like exercise during her breaks and take walks and go on bike rides during her lunch. Like it gives her freedom to exist outside of that. And my mom at this point, she's very much encouraging me to pursue a very similar job to her, which I understand the appeal, and I think it is, I'm glad she has found that happiness there. I don't think I could be happy doing something for me that it would just be that I tolerate for so many hours just for the promise of getting to spend a few hours like doing stuff that makes me happier. Like I said, my mom's happy, I'm, but
And also, as a teacher, you get weekends and summers and breaks off. My dad's a teacher, and he has like done like been in plays.
fulfilling with my life. I don't know. It's like the appeal for journalism for me was a lot of I want to be the one to help people. I want to be the
Yeah,
one to
touch
like,
lives.
yeah. And journalism is not the place to do that, not with the way news is right now. I'm not trying to get into fake news, but all
Especially
news is
with,
sensationalized. And if you don't recognize that, look at what you're
especially
reading.
with the growth of AI,
Yes.
which is
Tranquil.
absolutely terrifying and frustrating, and there should be a lot more laws about it. But
Yeah.
that's not relevant, so.
That's not the topic of today's episode, but I will say my mom's fiance asked me, he's like, you guys ever use AI in school? Because both he and my mom use AI a lot in their jobs. And I was like, no. I was like taken aback by the fact that they'd use AI. And it's just so weird to me because I'm very much in like the writers communities, and I know you are too, about AI evil. AI evil when it comes to writing.
AI is so evil, and it's like people, even politically, on so many different parts of the spectrum, complain about unemployment, and then don't really do shit about AI because it's
It's
gonna
the
put
sh
people out of jobs.
Oh, absolutely. And it's just the shiny new thing that everyone's fascinated with. I'm glad the writer's strike resolved. I like, but
And the settlement was that AI can't be used. Like, I'm pretty sure that was in the
yes,
settlement.
it was. Sorry, I had to do a project like where I was writing a news story, so I did research that because I still am in my journalism classes right now.
Well, okay, wait, do you dislike your journalism?
My one class for it, I dislike not because of the journalism, but there's some other issues I'm having with the class in
Oh.
general that I'm not going to talk about in a public space like this.
Okay.
It's not that I dislike it, it's just it doesn't hold my attention the way it used to. I think part of why I liked it was the same reason I liked AP research. It was the teacher.
Same teacher as journalism.
Exactly, it was the same teacher. She's inspiring, what can I say?
She's wonderful. We all love her. She's adored at our high school, rightfully so. Anyway, I'm thinking about how, honestly, I'm a little like, okay, this is gonna sound so cheesy and maybe a little cliche, but I'm like really proud of you for taking that direction with your life and like being able to acknowledge that this isn't something I like anymore. For my own good, I need to move on, even though it's what's familiar.
It's terrifying. Change in general is terrifying, and I know a lot of our listeners are dealing with the same things, because mm-hmm. every year, that's the thing about high school and college that, you know, they tell you, but you're never prepared for. Every year is different. Every year, everything changes, the dynamic flips, because people new people come, old people leave.
And your brain develops so much.
Oh, Lord.
So quickly.
I'm pretty sure I was four different people in the four different years of high school. Oh my God. Now we're in college. We'll see what happens. Your brain's developing. People are coming and going in your lives. Your friends are constantly changing. It's a mess. And it's overwhelming. And so far, that's what adulthood has been. Sorry to not tell you that there's unicorns and rainbows to look forward to, but I don't think anyone would benefit from the dishonesty.
Okay, but we haven't experienced real adulthood yet.
No, that's what I mean. I mean, like, the following years.
Yeah, but also, it's what's down the line. Like, that's where we're going. Oh, yeah. I have a question. It's kind of, like, it's very open-ended. Like, I think everyone has at least a slightly different answer to this question. What would you define an adult as? Like, what do you think is something, some quality of a person that defines them as adult?
Sorry, I really gotta think about this one.
Yeah, it's a toughie. I think this is one of the harder questions.
Like, my first thought was going to be the lack of reliance on those around you, but that's childish to think that you're not going to still need people, because you will always need people.
We're social animals, absolutely not. But I also think that some degree of being able to handle yourself, both emotionally and, of course, like physically, is a defining trait.
Yeah, it's self-reliance, the ability to rely on yourself to an extent, but to get through day-to-day life. I think that's the best way to say it. The ability to rely on yourself to get through day-to-day life, to make it from one place to another, to make decisions. You know, I still called my parents to be like, hey, can I go to Richmond in a couple weeks? And then my dad was like, are you asking for money? And I was like, no, it's super cheap to get to Richmond from here, which it really is.
The town part, and not have to ask anyone.
I know.
It's weird.
We all went night monumenting that first weekend. No one was like texting me, checking up on me, like, where are you? What are you doing? You know what I still was doing? Sending my parents pictures, updating them.
I have updates with my parents all the time. Mostly just like funny stories and like quotes and like grades I got that I'm proud of. The thing is, I found this Psychology Today article of six aspects of being an adult. Okay, I'm just gonna list them and not read the descriptions. Rationality, formulating and implementing goals, equality in relationships, active versus passive, non-defensiveness and openness, and personal power. Hold on, I want to read personal power because that's kind of vague. People do not have control over their thoughts and feelings. These arise unbidden in the course of everyday life. However, adults take full power over every part of their conscious existence. Indeed, they change any behavior or characteristic that they dislike in themselves, such as being overweight or abusing substances. In this sense, adults approach their lives from the standpoint of being responsible for their destiny. This is not mentally ill-friendly.
I was going to say, this whole thing sounds like this is not just adulthood. This is like healthy, idealized adulthood.
But
you're not going to be a perfect person just because you get older. That's not how it works. You also have to put in the effort and work on yourself. It doesn't just happen.
But also, neither of us have fully developed brains yet. So there might be some sort of reason that this sounds totally ridiculous to both of us. But I also have a little bit of faith that, like, especially since there are adults that have behaviors, characteristics about themselves that they don't like, but they don't go out and change them, maybe because they're depressed or something. And that is not something I will ever, like, shade button someone for, because it's hard. I don't know. That made me a little angry. Well, first of all, one thing about me, I really don't like when people try to staunchly define maturity, especially since a lot of people, like, use it to refer to, like, laughing at silly jokes or, like, yeah, finding kind of absurd, ridiculous things funny. And I'm like, that has nothing to do with maturity in adulthood. I'm positive of it.
It's like the maturity, and it's like, I still have my little stuffed animals here with me at college.
And that has nothing to do about it with it.
I was trying to think of some example that makes me sound more adult. I'm really not doing much adult right now. I feel like a little kid again. I feel like I've regressed to sophomore year. I'm going to be so real.
Yeah, it's a little bit of I'm still getting my feet under me with, like, being in college right now, except I'm home right now. I'm in fall break, but still, I'm going back tomorrow. But it's like, yeah, adults definitely can't laugh at ridiculous things. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm done for a second with the toy ducks. But
I highly doubt that, but I do appreciate you trying.
It's funny. I'm just going to look at the other six, because that was the sixth one. Because, rationality. I just don't like how objective and 100% this article is, like, black and white. It says, like, adults always make rational decisions on the basis of self-interest and moral concerns.
No, they don't.
Yeah, because no one always makes rational decisions. And I don't know, maybe my perception of this is a little or very skewed because I'm bipolar, but it's like
everyone has emotions and lets them get the best of them sometimes. That's part of life.
Does that mean that no bipolar person who doesn't have the perfect cocktail of medicines to never become manic, does that mean none of them are adults?
Yep, you're a child forever.
That feels insensitive. Actually, okay, so that's two of the six so far that seem insensitive. Got it.
I have feelings about other ones, but we'll get there. Continue.
Formulating and implementing goals.
I think this one is, obviously I haven't read the description, but I think this one is one of the ones that I think could be said is part of adulthood. Because it's not major goals. This makes it sound like, yeah, maybe it's not life goals, but, you know, you have the goal to get your work done for the day. You have the goal to make it to the grocery store. Like, goals don't have to be huge, life-altering, big plan things. But part of adulthood is being able to function, make those goals, and complete them, because that's how you get through life.
Well, and, like, also, my issue with this article is how black and white it is.
Yeah.
Because it's, like, rationality, like, I feel like it is a fact that the more developed your brain is, the more rational you are, but that doesn't mean all the time. And that's the same thing with these goals. Like, if you struggle to motivate yourself to work towards one, or even struggle to get yourself to start, it's hard, because, like, we all have things we want to do, but it's hard to actually motivate yourself to start some of them, and that doesn't make you immature. Equality in relationships. Oh, I think this one might be correct.
This one, I was gonna say,
well, I also think this article might be a little bit shady, because no one's perfect. I really don't think anyone's gonna perfectly check each six of these boxes, but it's like, the way it's phrased seems like if you don't do this all the time, you are not an adult, you are immature.
Yeah.
I do feel like maybe it doesn't make you not an adult. I do think that not working to achieve balance in a relationship is a little bit of a sign of immaturity.
Balance in a relationship is one of the hardest things to achieve, because it's something I've been thinking about a lot recently, because I'm constantly around new people who I don't know yet. And it's like, obviously these are just friendships, but...
Well, and both are, like, emotionally risky if they're not, like, equal, if it's not balanced.
And we're still learning each other, for lack of a better term. It's like, it's hard to know if things feel balanced or if it feels like one person's like dominating the conversation when you haven't learned quite what things should feel like. And then it just takes time. It takes a lot of time though to really develop that like understanding of each other that is needed for a like balanced,
okay,
equal relationship.
I'm going to start reading this article with the lens of this is something you strive for. And then after we've gotten through the next two, I have an idea for a seventh.
Okay.
So active versus passive. Adults are proactive and self-assertive rather than passive and dependent. They don't feel victimized by life or complain or dump their problems onto other people. Instead, they face their problems or challenges directly and work out solutions rather than depending on others for direction. They seek help only in relation to what they actually need, as in areas where they lack expertise, not in relation to unresolved emotional needs from the past.
Like you said, if we're talking about it just as something to strive for, yeah, a little more independence. That, you know, you got to be active in taking charge of your own life. You can't rely on other people to do it for you. But that doesn't mean you can't look to others when you need help. I think part of being an adult is admitting when you need help.
Absolutely. And oh, it said, like, when you really need help, you'll ask for it.
I know, that's what I was saying. I'm like,
This aspect I'm actually like kind of feeling good about myself about, because not to toot my own horn, but I have faith that I am a pretty assertive person. Like you know me, I'm not really a bullshit person.
Yeah.
And some of that, I guess, goes a little beyond the not dumping problems onto other people and into a, like an issue. But still, with the rest of this, I feel like this is something I'm good about. But I also, what's really bothering me is the part that they face their problems or challenges directly and work out solutions themselves rather than depending on others for direction. That's what asking for advice is.
It's the depending on. You ask for advice, but you also listen to yourself. It's
yeah,
like,
exactly.
I've known people who... And, you know, part of this is me, you know, I do this too, like, won't make a decision without getting, like, 2 to 3 people's input, and that's depending on. But being like, hey, what do you think I should do, and then still considering your options, that's, I think, more what it's getting at.
Have you ever, like, asked, like, someone what you should do, and then just totally ignored it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because...
That can be either really good or really bad.
Yeah. I was just going to say, sometimes because people aren't always going to have the same thoughts and feelings as you and know what's best for you. I think part of being an adult is recognizing that.
Well, actually, this part, low-key, sort of brings up a situation I had over the summer. You remember, I, like, almost dropped out of college before I dropped in. Like, there was about a week in July where it looked like I was not going. And, like, my mom, she wrote me a whole letter, and she gave me a whole bunch of reasons over the course of that, maybe 10 days. Like, they were all specific issues around, like, freshman camaraderie and freedom and taking the reins of your own life. None of them really convinced me. What got me to go, I'm not even sure of it, but it was none of those. I just remember I was sitting in my car on the way to the beach, and I just thought to myself, like, I gotta do it. It wasn't something she said. It was something my head told me.
And I think that's more mature than just listening to what other people tell you to do.
Yeah. And me having that, like, I don't know, epiphany right there, I think it made me feel a little less anxious about the whole thing. Because I'm like, I'm not just doing this for these logical reasons that someone else listed to me. Like, I actually had that feeling, and I'm glad I did, because turns out I really didn't have that much to be nervous about. Like, yeah, the lows when you're in college are very low, but there's also a lot of good parts.
Yeah, no, I agree. I don't know, I sometimes have the feeling that I'm just doing this because it was what has been expected of me, but I think it still might be one of the best ways to try to find where I'm going from here.
Exactly. You can explore so many different options.
It gives you a chance to meet people. It's like you mentioned earlier, you're not really knowing where you're going. My brother didn't know what he was going to do after college until like the last couple months of his senior year. Months is a strong word. Weeks.
Hey, and
Because
listen, it is what it is. Like, no matter how long it takes you to figure something out, if you do, that's what matters.
yeah, and it's like he didn't like exactly figure it out, for lack of a better word. It's not like he was like, oh, I want to go in a career of this and pursued it. You know what happened is he had gotten involved with organizations while he was on campus, not thinking about like, oh, this will lead to a career. He just did it because he wanted to do it, and it ended up leading to a job for him because they liked what work he did with them while a student, so they wanted to continue working with him. And now he is, you know, working full time, making decent money, and he loves what he's doing because it just started for something he was passionate about.
I would
There are
rather.
other ways to pursue a career than going into college knowing what you're doing. That's all I was saying.
I would rather end up with a decision I'm happy about after a long ass time of thinking about it and exploring it than just push myself into making a decision quickly. Like taking a huge risk of it not being a good option for me, making myself less happy. Like I would much rather take longer.
Yeah, no, I
Okay.
completely agree.
Last one. Non-defensiveness and openness. People who are emotionally mature do not have defensive or angry reactions to feedback. Whoops. They do not offhandedly disagree with negative commentary. Instead, they are open to exploring new ideas, welcome constructive criticism, and in this way, they expand their self-knowledge and self-awareness. I suck at this.
You had just said you struggle with this.
I totally do. I just let someone edit literally just the grammar of the first part of my novel. And like, I struggled with it so much. But I'm sort of glad I pushed myself to let myself go through with it because he did help me like think about a lot of the lines and like figure out ways to phrase it better and get my point across in a more efficient way. And I'm glad I did it. That doesn't mean it wasn't uncomfortable.
I think that's common with a lot of writers, though. I know there's the whole thing about like writing is a piece of your soul. If your writing doesn't
Exactly.
feel personal to you, I don't want to say it's not good writing because that's too point blank, like, you know,
It's
black and white,
not,
but like,
yeah, I wouldn't say that either, but it's not your best work.
yeah. So it does hurt. Art is often like that, I think. Criticism on art is one of the hardest things to take. And criticism in general, though, is not easy. I think this is one of the hardest parts of adulthood, is like learning to accept criticism and learn from it as opposed to immediately getting defensive.
It's certainly been a really tough part of my life for me because, again, I was saying I am a very assertive person, but sometimes that goes to excess. Like it goes to a little bit of my way or the highway, and or a lot, depending on the situation. It's just, yeah, it's something I'm trying to work on, but I agree. I think this will be the hardest part for me.
Self-actualization.
Like if you are able to acknowledge that and move past it, and I don't mean ignore it, like you are allowed to take a little while to feel emotions over that is another human thing. If it comes to the point where it starts to, where a screw up starts to affect your life for a long time, then I feel like you might need to work on that because I think that being able to admit not only to other people but to yourself that screwing up is not something wrong with you. Not always.
Yeah.
Actually, rarely is it something wrong with you.
What can be the wrong thing is how you handle it. Because, you know,
Exactly.
you screw up, you accept it, you acknowledge it, and then you either, if it like is continuing to cause problems, you either fix it, or next time a situation arises, you act differently the next time. You know, you fix it however you can, if there's a way to fix it. If there's not, you say you're sorry. I mean, say you're sorry in general, but like you say you're sorry to yourself, to others, to whatever the situation is, and you move on. And I don't mean move on in ignoring it, like you said. I mean move on in you try to do better. You try to do better whenever you can, because that's all you can do.
Well, yeah, and people talk about accepting that you're not perfect is something that comes with life. But I feel like what they don't talk about with that is that if you don't give yourself a little bit of time to feel your like instinctive emotions about it, it's not gonna last, like your ability to accept it. Like you need to let that out. And I don't know, this is another thing that I struggle with sometimes. Sometimes I'm really good at it, but it wavers with me.
This is something I struggle with the most, I think, because I hold on to things and I just beat myself up for it, and then I'm like, I am not good at moving on. I'll acknowledge it, I'll accept that I did it, and then I will spiral on that for like 3 to 5 business days.
Well, and also, I also think moving on is very, it's described very small-minded, in a small-minded way, because I think moving on doesn't necessarily mean you can't still think about it every now and then and be sad about it, be angry about it, be whatever, because that is also just a natural thing that happens. As long as it's not impacting your life, I will confidently say you have still moved on. Just because you still feel stuff around it, it's a memory that's going to happen. Just because you still, every now and then it comes up and it doesn't affect your life, that doesn't mean you haven't moved on.
No, I think that's
Because
fair.
sometimes I like scream cry in my car over stuff that happened years ago. But the thing is, when I've finished enough songs that I have playing to let it out, it's not hard for me to switch on a podcast and feel better by the time I get to the end of the drive. That's sort of how I know, I guess, I've moved on from something. I just had a revelation. I don't think I realized that before. Like, I don't think I ever pieced those thoughts together in my head.
I think it almost goes back to what I was saying earlier, in that every year you turn another year older, but you don't suddenly get rid of who you were before. There
Period. It's
are still emotions attached to it because you haven't gotten rid of who you've been in the past just because you've changed.
And yeah, exactly. Like people, yes. If you have the thought that you just reset when you turn a new age, I feel like that's because, yes, it's another year on when you tell people how old you are, but there are still 365 days or 66 in that year. And like you, those days are all a new period of development. So it's not just a jump. You had 365 plus 66 little segments of that. That's why it's not a jump, and that's why it's not just a sudden thing when you hit a milestone age. How do you feel about adulthood as a whole?
It's gonna come whether or not I'm ready for it, so I think it's time I accept and start preparing.
Well, honestly, that's a very rational way of thinking about it. Thanks, Psychology Today. That's a very rational way of thinking about it, because I don't know, you're sort of making lemonade there.
I'm
It's
trying. I'm on these podcasts are very, I mean, I think we get pretty personal in them, and I like that. I don't want to start like
Oh no, I wasn't
sugarcoating
asking you
things,
to.
but I do mean, I'm like, these podcasts are very much in our time to think rationally about it. I do think that helps, but
Oh yeah, this is one of my favorite parts of the
yeah, me too. But it's like,
month.
that doesn't mean I won't still cry over the fact that I'm getting older.
And it doesn't help that there's, and this is a whole nother can of worms, that there's like such a negative thing about getting older, especially for women. We haven't really experienced that yet, but like most women cry on their 30th birthday. But
Love that for us. Woo.
and it's for me with adulthood, it's actually something I sort of avoid thinking about. Because when I actually start thinking about the logistics of adulthood and like having to handle like everything myself and pay for absolutely everything, then I'm like, holy shit.
You know, anxiety exists for the reason that it helps you kind of prepare for what could happen, obviously. We're no longer hunter-gatherers, and we don't need to anxiety over every last thing. But
I wouldn't call that anxiety, because I think anxiety is like to the point of it
I don't.
seriously affecting. I would call
I
it
was
more
gonna say,
caution.
I don't mean
Caution.
anxiety as in like the diagnosable, like, disorder anxiety. I mean, anxiety in the feeling of anxiety.
That's why I want to say caution.
Yeah. But it exists to help you prepare for what may happen. That nervousness, that like worry, it's there. It serves the evolutionary purpose in that it allows you to prepare. If
And
you feel too ready, if you convince yourself that you're perfectly fine, you're just gonna do great, props to you, maybe you are, but chances are you're gonna struggle because it's all gonna come crashing down suddenly. The lie does not hold forever.
here's a like, I don't know, kind of deep thought. If you say, even not aloud, I'm not nervous at all, I'm totally ready, you're not ready.
Yeah.
You, because that entire caution, exactly what you said, it's like your ability to think out possibilities. And I think that that little bit of caution, while it might be uncomfortable, it might be a good sign.
I'm sorry. I know this is definitely like something I saw in like one of those like a probably like a Tumblr post screenshotted on Instagram. I'm gonna be so real. But it is something I think about a lot because it's like, yeah.
And I feel like this conversation has kind of made me feel a lot better.
Me too.
I feel like adulthood, at least some of it, can be what you make of it. Because it's hard to define it to a physical age. But if you are handling yourself decently, take care of yourself financially and stuff, I feel like that might be adulthood.
Yeah.
Like, and of course, ups and downs with both of those things. And it doesn't make you any less of an adult because, again, ups and downs are a part of being.
I think it's all of what we said. I don't think you can define adulthood any shorter than a full podcast episode because it's too
And
complex.
we made a dent in it, girl. Like, but I also think we summed it up as well as we can at this age. I don't know, maybe we'll revisit it when we're still doing this podcast when we're 30.
I was gonna say, so in when we're 25, and still
We'll just
recording
have
the
updates
podcast, we'll do
every
no.
5 years.
We do like one of those episodes where it's like we go back and like listen, we pull out like quotes from this one and then we just like we respond. How are we feeling now? But I think we covered it all. I mean, all
Yeah.
that we're going to today.
Exactly. And like, I think that we've said everything that we can say at this point in our lives. Because again, we're still very early in our lives and we're not adults by any means other than legal and maybe physical.
Yeah.
But like in our heads, we're not.
Well, we are not.
And it may be hard for people, even who have fully developed brains, to say that they are, and because it's
We're
something
all
that's so
just,
subjective.
yeah, we're all just human beings living life, and that's the best we can do right now.
So we sum it up, little rapid fire.
Yeah, that'd be.
And you should learn how to admit you're wrong and not totally beat yourself up for it.
Yeah, a lot of it comes down to accepting there are mistakes and wanting to work to change them.
And
Yeah. Address the
so
problems, don't ignore them, accept them, and work to fix them.
try to work to accept constructive criticism.
Yeah, I've forgotten what
And
else we've said.
also, nothing is black and white in this. Like, I'm looking at the Psychology Today article again, and none of these are black and white. Like, none of these are going to be things that happen all the time. And if they don't all happen all the time, that doesn't mean you're immature.
Yeah, it's something to strive for, not the end all be all.
Absolutely. And that's just a really good way of thinking about it. I think that's a healthy way of thinking about it. One more thing.
What a great way to end our episode.
Yeah, so I hope you guys enjoyed this oddly deep episode of Deep Stuff.
Yeah.
We will see you.